The following sermon was delivered by Senior Pastor Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston.
Every year, shortly after Thanksgiving, a creche begins to appear on the tall round table in the corner of the Black Johnston living room. Over 35 years of marriage, our December routine unfolds in a familiar way. Christmas carols play in the background. Surrounded by boxes and bins, I tap away at my laptop, mining for another Advent sermon. Meanwhile, Amy, humming with the music, gracefully, methodically, beautifully decorates. It is not a one-day thing. Decorating at the Black Johnston household can take a week or two, sometimes longer. As the boxes are carefully unpacked, a scruffy cast of Christmas figures gradually make their way to our tabletop Bethlehem. Over the years, we've acquired or been gifted with a number of nativity sets. Some are missing pieces. Sadly, our Peruvian pottery Mary met her demise during one of our moves. Our boxes hold an assortment of mismatched cows and donkeys, some felt, some wood, some ceramic, a few made from Legos. I love the somewhat random, steady trickle of new arrivals to our manger. It mirrors the cadence of Advent, a season in which God is getting closer, step by surprising step. This Advent, during worship, we're going to pay close attention to how each of the players in God's pageant make their way to the manger. Today, we begin with Gabriel, God's herald. Next week, Reverend Ramirez will turn our attention to the Holy Family. Eventually, we'll watch as shepherds race toward the barn and magi bow before a different sort of king. It's all, of course, a prelude to asking, how and when will you arrive at Christmas? Friends, on this first Sunday in Advent, listen now for God's word as it echoes from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the fifth verse. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God during his section's turn of duty, Zechariah was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Some of the most famous paintings in the world feature the angel Gabriel. Gabriel's visits to Mary, Joseph, and in today's text, Zechariah, have been painted by the likes of Caravaggio and Botticelli, Rembrandt, and Van Eyck. Scholars call these works Annunciations. They freeze frame the moment when God's herald shows up to make an annuncio, to deliver good news. My favorite annunciation resides right here in New York City. The Cloisters Museum on the northern tip of Manhattan is home to the evocative Merode altarpiece. It's a small piece. Still, the Met gives it its own room, and deservedly so. This triptych, painted by the Dutch master Robert Campin, contains an extraordinary scene. In the central frame of the painting, we find Mary, clothed not in her traditional blue, but in a brilliant red dress. It's surprising attire for a young woman who appears to be brewing a cup of tea while lounging and reading her Bible. Mary is so absorbed with the good book that she doesn't seem to notice that God's herald has entered her kitchen. A relaxed Gabriel patiently leans toward the maiden, waiting for the right moment to interrupt. There's more, but I'll save you from further spoilers and simply say, do your soul a favor. Make a pilgrimage to the cloisters this Advent. Does it surprise us that scores of painters have chosen Gabriel as a subject? Take a look at today's bulletin cover. What's not to love? In this Annunciation, Leonardo da Vinci renders Gabriel with the strong, unfurled wings of a raptor, possibly an eagle. The angel kneels, hand raised in a blessing, and prepares to speak. Da Vinci captures the drama of the moment. Gabriel's arrival is always unexpected, always a surprise, always intense. So is it any wonder that the first words out of Gabriel's mouth invariably are, "Be not afraid"? In today's passages, Zechariah's wobbly knees knock. Gabriel speaks a word of comfort to the old clergyman. The angel encourages the priest, "Do not be afraid." In the Hebrew Bible, in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, Gabriel appears to Daniel. The prophet is having a really bad day, and the angel intones, "Do not be afraid." In Luke, God's herald starts a conversation with Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the same words. In Matthew, Gabriel visits Joseph in a dream, and there the messenger soothes the man's worried, sleeping brow with the words, "Be not afraid." Other angels in the good book employ the same salutation in Genesis, all the way back in Genesis. Abraham's wife Hagar flees into the desert with her son Ishmael, and an unnamed angel seeks Hagar out. The first words out of this heavenly courier's mouth are, "Be not afraid." And the same greeting can actually be found in the Islamic holy book, the Quran. Yes, God's chief messenger gets around. Gabriel has an interfaith portfolio. Heaven's herald has a place on stage in the sacred texts of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In the Quran, the archangel visits the prophet Moses, and true to form, on approaching Moses, the first words out of Gabriel's lips are, "Good." Observant writers have carried this admonition over into the realm of literature. In Madeleine L'Engle's Newbery Award-winning novel, A Wrinkle in Time, when one of three angels, Mrs. What's-It, first greets the book's youthful heroes, she calmly says to them, "Now, don't you be worried. Be not afraid." Why do all these angels share the same catchphrase? When Gabriel knocks on people's doors, why doesn't God's messenger simply hand Mary and Zechariah and Joseph heaven's express mail envelope? Why does Gabriel take the time to speak words of comfort? Many scholars think the answer to this question is easy. Their logic goes like this. When a being who spends every day in the presence of the glory of God breaks into our world, it's a frightening thing. But before they can convey their message, these otherworldly creatures have to lower people's heart rate. Take a few breaths there, Zechariah. Calm down, Mary. It's an alarming thing to have an angel pop into your kitchen on a Saturday morning. So, of course, these messengers smooth the way. Be not afraid. And this explanation makes sense. Angels are fierce-looking, light-emitting, sword-wielding, flying beings. They are officers in the army of heaven. Are they potentially scary? Yes. Still, I wonder if heaven's traditional greeting is more than a chill pill. More than, "Yes, I have wings, please don't freak out." The angel who greets Hagar in Genesis, a woman who has been banished into the wilderness, uses these words, "Be not afraid." And Hagar's situation makes us think, is this fleeing woman trembling because she's run into heaven's messenger? Or is Hagar afraid because she's alone in a desert with no resources and a child to feed and clothe and protect? What if the first words out of Gabriel's mouth are a nod to the fact that humans spend a significant chunk of their lives wrestling with fear? What if angels seek to bolster human courage because they can read the room? This past week, the New York Times ran an article by Brian Gallagher entitled, "Anxiety, It's What's for Thanksgiving Dinner." In the piece, Gallagher recounts all the reasons that Americans are currently citing for being worried. Higher prices at the grocery store, uncertain job searches, deep concern for our nation's soul. We are more than a little fearful right now. Gallagher argues that the anthem that perfectly captures our country's fearful 2025 vibe is the popular song Anxiety, written and performed by the rapper Doechii. Anxiety went viral back in February, and it's hovered near the top of the charts ever since. Following an almost manic beat, the 27-year-old musician sings, "Anxiety, keep on trying me. I feel it quietly, trying to silence me. Yeah, my anxiety can't shake it off of me." Todd Kashtan, a psychologist and the founder of the Well-Being Laboratory at George Mason University, has coined a word to describe our country's widespread anxiety: loomingness. Loomingness, says Kasdan, is the fear that a threat is getting closer or moving faster. In other words, you have no idea how bad this is going to get. Justin Wolfers, a professor of economics and public policy at the University of Michigan, puts it this way: I wake up and look at my phone in the morning, and there's a sense of dread in that 2 seconds between when I turn it on and when I look at the screen to see what's happened. Why does Gabriel glide into the room with the words, "Don't be afraid"? Perhaps the angel knows that this world is capable of scaring us afresh every day. Tides of anxiety rise and keep rising in our hearts. Take today's passage. Why is Zechariah afraid? So many reasons. He's having a conversation with an angel, and if that's not enough, the angel makes a promise to fulfill the priest's old dream. You and your wife are going to welcome a child into the world. Here's a hope that Zechariah and his wife used to whisper to each other in the deep, dark night years and years ago. Slowly, though, over time, the flowers of their dream withered. Why is Zechariah afraid? Maybe it's this simple. When you've given up on hope, it can feel almost cruel to have someone try and rekindle it. It feels heartless to whisper the impossible to your beloved. In today's text, the fragile possibility sketched by the angel, the chance that a couple's fervent prayer might finally be answered, seeds tremors in Zechariah's soul. It makes a person think. Does hope, the first candle that we light in the season of Advent, does hope frighten us? In the spiritually rich movie, The Shawshank Redemption, which, if you haven't seen it and you're not going to the cloisters, you should watch it this Advent. In The Shawshank Redemption, Morgan Freeman plays Red and Tim Robbins plays Andy. These two men are serving life sentences in a Maine prison in 1947. Over the course of the film, Red and Andy become friends, and like all good friends, they debate life's misfortunes and puzzlements. One of their debates centers around the notion of hope. In a scene in the prison cafeteria, Red starts to shake his head when Andy starts holding forth on hope. Let me tell you something, my friend, Red winces. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. In so many ways, Red is right. Every aspect of life in the Shawshank Penitentiary is designed to drum hope out of the prisoners' souls. And yet Andy holds firm. Hope is the one thing he will not relinquish. He will not allow the terrible powers of the prison's guards. He will not let fear for his own life siphon hope from his soul. Instead, Andy hangs onto and indeed lives into this Christian virtue. He does hopeful things. He acquires a phonograph and plays music for the other prisoners. He fills the prison library with hopeful books. He bolsters the dreams of fellow inmates. Andy speaks hope to others. Near the end of the movie, Andy, who has escaped the prison, hides a letter for Red in a rock wall, and eventually Red, who has been paroled, finds it. In the letter, Andy writes, "Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." The Shawshank Redemption is a film that vibrates with the sensibilities of Advent. Surely Advent's prophet Isaiah would cheer Andy's words. In his writings, Isaiah addresses people who live during a dark moment in human history, and yet the prophet promises that a light will come, a light in the darkness, a candle that cannot be put out. Isaiah encourages people not simply to believe in this hope, but to speak it, to share it with each other, to live it. In Isaiah 35, the prophet writes, "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come and save you." "Do not fear," says Gabriel. My friends, the heralds of Advent come to stitch the frayed ends of our hearts together with the thread of hope. When these angels enter the ordinary rooms of our lives, the kitchens and classrooms, the doctor's offices and courtrooms, they whisper, "Do not be afraid. God is not far away. God will not ignore cries for help. God is on the way." Over 30 years ago, while poking around in an antique shop in Austin, Texas, Amy and I came across a large, 2-foot-tall carved wooden Gabriel. She's holding a trumpet to her lips. Amy looked at me, I nodded, and she reached for her wallet. Gabriel's been with us throughout our marriage, through tears and laughter, through some pretty hard moments, and some rather raucous celebrations. Gabriel presides over our living room. Our carved angel is always there. Along the way, Gabriel's become more than a Christmas decoration, but she is still that. When December rolls around, when Amy begins to decorate, when various players begin to gather at our miniature Bethlehem, they assemble at Gabriel's feet. They meet under the span of the angel's great wings. I like this imagery. I like the fact that Gabriel never gets put away. Because isn't that the way it is with angels? They're always there, knocking on our doors, pointing to the horizon, focusing our eyes on the dawning of Advent's light, endlessly repeating their stalwart refrain. Be not afraid. My friends, be not afraid. Good people, it is Advent. Give ear to the counsel of angels. Be not afraid. And then go forth. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Do not return evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.